Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line continuing on right here on KMOX. We're very happy to welcome on to the program. You see him on Bally Sports Midwest as a studio host for both Cardinals and Blues. He was also the TV play-by-play voice for St. Louis University Billikens basketball. He is Scott Warman. Scott, always appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
Doing well, my man. Looking forward to Thursday, obviously. As we all know, big day here in St. Louis, our own little holiday. And now Matt Pauly gets to see it up close and personal, a part of the Cardinal Radio Network. How awesome is that?
It's really exciting. I was just talking earlier today, you know, growing up here, my mom and I would go to opening day year after year after year, and that finally stopped, I think, once I made my way to AAA baseball. And obviously when I was working with the Brewers, I wasn't going to be able to come back for Cardinals opening day. But it's been, you know, I think 12 years since I've been at an opening day, and I'm really looking forward to being back on this Thursday. Yeah.
How awesome. Well, I'm sure being a part of the Brewers network, you remember when Colt Wong came to the plate as a member of the Brewers for the first time facing his former team. That was a pretty emotional moment for him, but a pretty cool moment. It showed how much Colton still meant to the Cardinals and the Cardinal fans, and vice versa.
Yeah, Colton started crying in that moment. It was a really emotional thing. You're right. And now he's over in the American League, so we're not going to see as much of him here in St. Louis. Before we go all in on Cardinals, just wanted to get one Billikens thing with you. The season was really, it didn't end the way anybody thought it was going to end. They did not play any postseason basketball. Just from a disappointment level, how disappointing was it the fact that not only did they not make the NCAA tournament, but they didn't extend their season at all coming out of the conference tournament?
I think it was disappointing because I think, first of all, they were one of the preseason favorites to come out of the A-10, and I think there was so much buildup, Matt, to this season, because you had guys that had been around for a long period of time. You had one of the best point guards in all the country. Perkins was coming back after missing a season, and before he was hurt, he was, I mean, on top of the world. I mean, that kid was a scoring machine. He had all these elements blended together, and there was so much excitement and so much hype, and I think rightly so for the team. So, obviously, I think everybody was disappointed what the finality was for the Billikens this season. I think a lot of people had the NCAA on their minds, but, you know, for whatever reason, things just didn't click throughout most of the season. There were times where they showed you those flashes of brilliance. I mean, Yuri Collins did throughout the season, but, I mean, even Perkins, it took him a while before he kind of got into a flow of things. Jimerson was even up and down as well, and then you had your two bigs, and especially Okoro, who has a world of talent, great big man inside. But unfortunately for Francis, it was one of those situations, Matt, where, you know, we saw him get into foul trouble way too many times, and really early in basketball games where Coach Ford had to go to his bench early in the game. So I think that played a part as well. And I think still they're a terrific ball club, but obviously I know there's a lot of disappointment with Billikens fans that this wasn't an NCAA team this year. And especially when you think about the A-10, the A-10 was kind of down this year compared to other years where it's normally a multi-bid league, but that didn't happen. And so obviously Travis is on the warpath and out and recruiting and trying to bring in another team for next year.
I'll tell you what I was most disappointed about, because I'm a K-State guy, and the world kind of fell in love with Marquise Noel during the K-State run. I feel like if Yuri Collins would have been under that same spotlight, the world would have fallen in love with him just the same.
Without a question. And I'll tell you, from just personal experience, I actually got to see Marquise because I, for the first time in my career, worked the Cayman Islands Basketball Tournament Classic down in the Cayman Islands during Thanksgiving week, and they won the tournament. And he was just absolutely outstanding. In fact, Jess Settles, who was a former Iowa basketball star, does stuff for FS1 and the Big Ten Network. He was actually working with me, and he was like, Scott, this guy's special. I'm like, I know. He is something else. And Coach Tang did an amazing job because, as you know, as a former K-Stater following it, he had to bring all these different pieces of the puzzle together and try to put it together in a short order of time, and he did it. I think Coach Tang did an amazing job in Manhattan to take that thing over and do what they did and get as far as they did. Exceptional team. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. What we saw from Noel, a lot of people got to see him up close and personal during the tournament, is a very great reflection of what we saw out of Yuri Collins during his career here in St. Louis.
All right, let's jump into the Cardinals. How excited are you to see Jordan Walker out there in the outfield, presumably on an everyday basis?
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I cannot wait. Didn't make it to spring training. I haven't even had a chance to see him. We normally take trips to do some features with some of the minor leaguers, and we haven't been able to do that ever since COVID over at Bally Sports Midwest. And I'm just so excited that you were down there. I mean, a mountain of a human being. He's only 20 years old. And just to watch the ball just jump off of his bat, but also his ability. And talking to some people within the organization, even last year, when he made the transformation in the middle of the season in Springfield from third base to the outfield, they're like, man, it's almost as smooth of a transition as you can imagine for a guy that really didn't play outfield that much. So I'm pumped up, just like all the fans and everybody else, to watch this young man get his opportunity. I think one of the most important things, and I know Ollie brought this out with some of the media after they made the official announcement over the weekend, is where is his head at? And I think from everything you can tell from his response, as well as Ollie's response when asking him questions before he told him he was going to make the big club, I think for a 20-year-old guy, he has an amazing head on his shoulders. And I know one of the other things that's huge that people within the organization have told me, and probably told you too, Matt, is the fact that apparently this young man has an incredible work ethic. Mm-hmm. And that is hard to do, and especially when you are reaping talent that's oozing in a guy like Jordan Walker. Because let's face it, I know he even mentioned this, Matt, is the fact that he's going to hit some ruts. You know, he may come out hot as a firecracker, but as you know, there's so much video now more than ever before. They figure guys out. They can figure guys out quickly, and then that's when you have to start making adjustments, and he's going to have to make a lot of adjustments. And let's face it, if it's a situation where maybe he needs to go down to AAA and find some things, that's great. Because to me, it sounds like from what the Cardinals are saying, the guy has such a great, again, head on his shoulders that he can withstand stuff like that, and it won't get him down. He just goes, like he says, work for the next day and try to be better. And so I can't wait to watch the kid play, because everything I've been told, he's just a really special talent.
What is the thing that most concerns you going into the season?
I would have to say, honestly, I'm probably in the same boat as everybody else's. I have to see what's going on with the starting pitching. Obviously, not having Waino start the season is a step in the wrong direction. Obviously, with Jack Flaherty and his numbers, Jack feels good, so that's a good thing. But Flaherty's numbers, and obviously we know what happened with Houston yesterday, was not the most pretty sight, I guess, if you were down there watching that at all. Those, to me, especially Jack Flaherty, has got to be one of the keys to this ball club if they want to have success, not only within a division. Obviously, it's probably going to be a Cardinals-Milwaukee chase to a division championship. But if you want to get a little bit farther than, you know, the wild card that we've seen over the last couple of years, and I think Jack, especially in his contract year, one would expect that, again, staying healthy, he can go at that level that you know they can be one of the best in the business. From what I understand, and again, you were down there, but people I work with have told me Steven Matz looks terrific. Yep. Jake Woodford has looked absolutely awesome. I like what I saw Jordan Montgomery the other day. So with that being said, those are some positives as far as the starting rotation is concerned, and there is some depth. Can Dakota Hudson find himself down in AAA? Can a guy like Matthew Liberatore, who looked good in his last start before being sent back down to AAA, can he add some punch to it as well? I think one of the things we all learn as we watch the game, and it's evolved so much, Matt, is the fact that you can talk about a five-man rotation, but I learned this years ago getting to know Walt Jocketty, the former Cardinal general manager, and he said, Scott, it's more than a 25-man roster. You have to have a 30 to 35 man roster because you need to know more than your 12, 13 pitchers. You got to have 17, 18, 19 pitchers, whether it's, you know, six or seven starters, multiple bullpen guys, because as you know, Matt, you're going to have guys that are going to be injured. You're going to have guys that are going to slump and they're going to have to be sent down. So having the depth is huge. And I think that's one thing that sets the Cardinals apart from Milwaukee and even some of the other teams in the National League is they have depth as far as pitching is concerned, but also as far as their position players are concerned as well. And I think that's what bodes well for this ball club.
This is my NL Central hot take. I think the Cubs have nudged past the Brewers. I'm not sure if either wins half of their games.
I think that's interesting.
I think the Cubs are just a half. Brewers obviously have better high-end pitching with Woodruff and Burns, but I think when you look at the totality of the 26-man roster, I think the Cubs are going to win a couple more games than the Brewers this year.
Interesting. I do think that the Cubs have really improved themselves, and I think Cody Bellinger is one of the guys that really and truly intrigues me. Hosmer is a guy that I know, talking to the folks in Kansas City for many years, they're like, man, if you ever want to have a great clubhouse guy, Eric Hosmer is your guy. Now, I don't know what's happened where he's leveled off from an offensive standpoint, but all those people over there, broadcasters or just people I know over there just in general who follow the team, have never had anything but glowing things to say about Hosmer. So I think that's a great ad. But to me, you mentioned the top line pitching for Milwaukee. Pitching is such a huge part of this game, and that's why I still nudge them ahead of the Cubs, in my personal opinion, because, man, and you've seen it, you know, and we've all seen it with Woodruff and Burns just from the starters. I mean, that's really a terrific 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it's as good as it gets. I agree with that. I just don't think they have a whole lot of that. I had Hosmer when I was doing single-A baseball in the Royals organization. I had him and Moustakas and Salvador Perez, like all these guys who were part of those World Series teams in Kansas City. Character was a part of it. They're all such great guys.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's awesome that you got to do that because, yes, I've heard nothing but great things about Sal Perez, Hosmer, Moustakas, like you just saying, all that group. It's not really a surprise, and I'm sure you weren't surprised. You were really happy for them that they went out and won a world championship, but hearing those types of things from the folks in Kansas City, it's not a surprise that they had finally won another world championship with that group of guys. Again, like I said, just with the Hosmer thing where he's kind of fallen off from an offensive standpoint is one of those things that kind of surprises me. And that's one of the, you know, you look back at the Cardinals from a historical standpoint, you go back, 2011, you brought in a guy like Lance Berkman. Well, one of the things they brought Berkman in for was not only for maybe, you know, trying to find himself from an offensive standpoint to kind of give a little bit more protection in the middle of that lineup, but also from a standpoint of the clubhouse. And he was an awesome clubhouse guy for that team that eventually won the 2011 World Series. So that also plays a part. They call it, quote unquote, Matty, the intangibles. And that's one of those things that you can't take away when you have a good clubhouse guy like that.
He is Scott Warman. You see him on Bally Sports Midwest occasionally. He's here with us at KMOX. Scott, always appreciate the time. We look forward to watching you all season long, and we'll see you real soon.
We will see you on Thursday, my friend.
That's Scott Warman. This is Sports Open Line. We're back with more in just a moment on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Miles Michaelis, and you're listening to Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Sports Open Line does roll on. A Graybar Sports Open Line here on a Monday night. We're counting down to Thursday, opening day coming up. We're going to be doing mostly Cardinals between now and then. We're very happy to welcome back onto the program. You read him at stlsportspage.com. He is the Cardinals beat writer for stlsportspage.com. Rob Raines joins us. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines. Rob, always appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
My pleasure, man. I'm good. Thank you.
Jordan Walker makes the team. It's not a surprise. He played really well in spring. I guess the better question is, what significance does this have for this organization that Jordan Walker's ready to make his major league debut right now?
Well, I think it's two things. Number one, it's a credit to the Cardinals for recognizing his talent, you know, in the draft and drafting him and preparing him to be in the big leagues after, what, just, you know, a year and a half in the minor leagues, basically when you count the COVID summer of 2020. So, you know, he's progressed very quickly, and that's a credit to his talent. It's also a credit to the Cardinals for recognizing that and promoting him. You know, they could have very easily said, well, you know, we want to give him a little more seasoning at AAA, and nobody could have really questioned that and sent him down to start the season, and yet they didn't, and now he's going to play. And I think the significance of how he plays is going to be felt by the impact of on other players, because they didn't bring him up here and put him on the opening day roster to play, you know, once a week. I mean, he's going to play, you know, 4 out of 5 days, I would predict, and that means that somebody else is not going to be playing. So that's going to be the trickle-down effect, is how the competition for the playing time among the other spots in the outfield, as well as, you know, sometimes at the DH spot.
The conversation before the decision was made was always, the Cardinals are not going to put him on the opening day roster unless they feel like not only is he ready to contribute on opening day, but he's ready to contribute and be part of this team and not be on a yo-yo between St. Louis and Memphis. Where do you think the Cardinals' confidence level is at right now that he is going to be able to stick at the big league level?
Well, I think it's pretty high. I mean, I don't think it's a given. I mean, we've seen a lot of players. I mean, Nolan Gorman had to go back down last year. I mean, there's historical examples all over the place of guys who ended up in the Hall of Fame that didn't stick their first go around. Willie Mays, for example. You know, so if he does struggle a bit and has to go down for a little bit of AAA play at some point in the season, I don't think it's the end of the world, and I don't think you give up on him as a great prospect if that happens. But saying that, I think he's got the ability to hit well at this level. He's got the one thing I think that he's got, which is probably unusual for a 20-year-old kid, and maybe even for any age rookie as they get to the big leagues, is he's got that ability to have a really good game and then have a really bad game and act exactly the same way and never let that one bad game roll into two or three bad games. I mean, to me, one of the most significant statistics that he had last year at Springfield was he never went more than two games in a row without a hit. I mean, I know that that's double A, that's not the big leagues, and he's probably going to go longer than two games in a row at the big leagues without a hit. But that just shows to me that he's not just a home run guy. He's got the ability to make contact. He's got the ability to make adjustments. He's a very smart kid. He's, you know, very level-headed, and I think he's got all the confidence in the world as well as the ability in the world to make this work.
It's going to be fun. Like, you've covered this team for so long. Who was the last prospect for you that had as much hype around him as Jordan Walker has right now?
Well, Tavares had a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Oscar Tavares had a lot. And he's certainly the best hitting prospect the Cardinals have developed since Tavares, and probably maybe even a bit better than Tavares. So you probably go back to Pujols. I mean, you know, but then again, the Pujols thing was a little bit different because he came on so quickly that, you know, you've had 2.5 years basically to get to know Jordan Walker if you follow the Cardinal farm system. You know, I mean, I know the half year of 2020 didn't really count because he was in the alternate side camp, but the last 2 years, certainly, you know, everybody could follow his on the field progress. So, but Pujols came along so quickly that, you know, that one spring training in 2001 was basically his coming out party, you know, and he was right there, jumped on the scene. So probably before that, probably Rick Ankiel was probably the guy that everybody was so hyped about at that point, 23 years ago now, I guess it was, or more, that he came up. And, you know, that's how rare this is for a kid this age with this much talent to burst on the scene like that.
All off season long, John Mozeliak and company said that the door was basically open for Jordan Walker to make the team. They did not close anything off, and they followed through on that. You got another guy in Taylor Motter who plays his way onto the team, and it didn't look like nobody was talking about him being on the opening day roster when spring training got started. Do you think players both internally and externally notice that the Cardinals seemingly do reward good play with spots on the roster?
Well, I think you have to notice. I mean, this organization has always been, or at least in my memory, has always been a player development driven organization. They like to, you know, they like to draft their own players. They like to promote their own players when they can. And obviously, you're going to fill in with a Goldschmidt and Arenado at some points along the way. But, you know, the Michaelis is a free agent, you know, those kind of guys. But by and large, they like to promote their own talent. So I think everybody knows that about the Cardinals. I think Motter's situation a little bit different. Obviously, a minor league free agent they signed to provide depth at Memphis. He had a really good spring, which helped his cause, but I think that the injury to DeJong is what really kind of opened the way for him to be on the roster because they just felt they wanted to have a little more confidence in their infield depth other than just having Brendan Donovan as the only, you know, guy who would float among those different infield positions. So I think, you know, it was a combination of both of those things that led to Motter making the team.
Do you have any concern about Jack Flaherty's spring performance, or do you just write it off as being it's spring and some guys just don't perform during the spring?
Ask me in a month from now. You know, I mean, I can't answer that. Yeah, we look at the numbers, and they're not very good. I mean, he had spots, you know, starts that were okay, and, you know, that he said that he felt fine, which is the best encouraging thing, is that he says he's feel fine and that he's throwing, the velocity is fine. So, you know, you got to be encouraged about those two things. But, yeah, the actual results and the amount of hits he gave up and, you know, the ERA and things like that are not good. So maybe it is a matter of him not really putting it all together in spring training and not really worrying about the results in spring training other than being healthy. So that's why I don't know whether to be alarmed by that yet or not.
Opening day is such a special day in St. Louis. Do you think people are kind of taking a step back? Because last year, opening day was coming off of a labor situation, and there was still excitement, but for some people there was upset about it, and scheduled opening day didn't happen. It was kind of a weird scheduling quirk the way it worked out, and all the COVID years before that. I mean, this is our first normal standard opening day in a good number of years.
Yeah, since 2019. And so I do think it's probably a little bit, you know, people are kind of, I don't want to say skeptical a little bit, but I think they are kind of, let's get this season going and get back to normal. I do think, I did see a difference, I'll say, at spring training this year, though. I thought things were back to normal at spring training as far as the attendance will go, as far as the fan interest goes. So I think you're going to see just as good an effect of once the season gets started on Thursday of people being really into this team, because I think it's going to be a really good team, too. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest in this team. And I know there are people still thinking about the labor situation, still thinking about COVID, but I think by and large, you know, we've moved past all of that.
Finish you off with this. Who's the second best team in the NL Central?
I still think it's Milwaukee.
Okay.
And just because of the pitching, you know, I don't think their offense is as good as it's been the last few years, but when you got, you know, you can run Burns and Woodruff and those guys out there. I know they've had some injuries too, but to me, I still think you have to beat Milwaukee to win the division.
Fair enough. He's Rob Raines. You read him at stlsportspage.com. You follow him on Twitter @Rob Raines. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. See you Thursday.
All right, very good. There's Rob Raines joining us here on the program. And, yeah, he says, I was just actually texting with a friend of mine who's still lives in Wisconsin, and we were giving our projected NL Central predictions. And mine is Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, Reds. And my friend who lives in Wisconsin was Cardinals, Cubs, Pirates, Brewers, Reds. So there are some folks out there who think even less of what's going on in Wisconsin than what I do. But again, it's there is a possibility. There is a, and I'm not just trying to, poke out the chest here on the Cardinals flagship station. There is a possibility that there is not two teams from the NL Central that are above 500 this year. There is a possibility, a distinct possibility, that the second place team, whether it's the Cubs, whether it's the Brewers, whether it's the Pirates, whoever, it's not going to be the Reds. Probably not going to be Pirates. Whoever it ends up being, that they don't even get to 500. It's just, it's not a very good division. Those teams, especially if they get off to slow starts, you would think that they're going to start selling some pieces at some point in time, because the teams in the East and West that spent money this offseason and get off to a little bit of a slower start than they would like, you would think that they might be looking at buying in the early going. Just throwing that out there. We talked Jordan Walker. We talked Taylor Motter. Couple guys who play their way onto the opening day roster. A couple guys who are coming from different spots and doing that. Both spoke with the media over the course of the weekend after finding out that they would be on the opening day roster. We'll pass along comments from them coming up in just a moment. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A Graybar Sports Open Line rolling on here on a Monday night on KMOX. This is a big week. Cardinals open up their season coming up on Thursday. Do you have your tickets yet for KMOX Kegs and Eggs? If you don't, what are you waiting for? It's going to be taking place from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. The VIP party will be taking place on 7th Street between Market and Walnut, right across from Ballpark Village. Tickets get you access to a covered VIP area with private restrooms. It's all being brought to you by Budweiser, so Budweiser products will be available. Sugar Fire Smokehouse as well, and live broadcast throughout the entire run of it as well. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. 10 to 2 coming up on Thursday. Get all the details on how you can get your tickets at KMOX.com/events. All right, let's get to today's fun with audio. Two guys made the club over the weekend that were not guaranteed to make the club. Jordan Walker and Taylor Motter. Two guys who are in very different spots in their career, but two really cool stories, and we want to go through each of those a little bit. Let's start with Walker, and we'll start with this because the Cardinals posted this on their social media channels over the course of the weekend. This is the audio from a video that they posted, but this is awesome. Kudos to the Cardinals for posting this. This was the moment in Oliver Marmol's office when Jordan Walker officially made the opening day roster.
The biggest separator in watching you this entire camp was very simple. When you face adversity, you weren't bothered by it. And that's the separator in the big leagues, is the ability that when there's a little bit of pressure on you and everyone's getting on you for not doing your job, your ability to just cancel out the noise and just keep going at it. And that was the best skill that you demonstrated for everybody. Every staff member has said it. You did that extremely well. And you deserve every bit of being with us opening day to win.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Holly. Thanks, Sean.
Congrats, Ron. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Well deserved.
I appreciate you guys.
Be proud. Well deserved.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Again, kudos going out to the Cardinals for posting that. That was really, really cool that they did that. Let's get into what Jordan Walker had to say after he found out that he made the club. First off, he just talked about what it was like finding out that he had indeed made the team.
Unbelievable joy, man. I don't think I've ever had a feeling like it. Definitely one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life, for sure.
And he went on to talk a little bit more about that moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a kid growing up, wanting to be in the MLB, I felt like at some point, you know, I would have to go through that moment, and it was everything I thought it would be, man. The feelings were high. Happiness was high. That's pretty much all I can say for it.
A lot of Cardinals minor leaguers see a Cardinals opening day at some point in time. That's not the case with Walker. So his first ever Busch Stadium opening day is going to be one that he in all likelihood is playing in.
Our fan base is really great, and I know, you know, they're going to support and show out and things like that, so I know it's going to be a pretty crazy day, pretty in a good way for sure, but definitely crazy as well.
As Walker reflected on the process this year in spring training, what it was like just to go through the year and to fight for a spot on the roster, he said one of the things was it was really important that the team knew who he was on the field but also off the field as well.
I wanted to show them all my tools, but I also wanted to show them my character as well. I wanted them to show that that even when things don't go well, I want to be able to someone that they can trust and that I won't, you know, crumble or anything like that. I'll still have the same attitude towards it. So that's also something I really wanted to show as well with my tools that I feel like I have.
And as spring training was going on, after he had that hot start, everything that was taking place, so many people talking about his possibility of making the team, he said one of the things he really tried to do was not worry too much about all the things going on that he could not control.
You don't always know what people are thinking, but, you know, it really is... I was thinking to control what I can control. I don't want to be, you know, cliche or anything, but that's really how I was thinking, you know. And then I was always, as I said, whatever happens, happens type of guy. And that whenever I do on the field, I won't have any regrets at the end of spring training. You know, I gave it my all and things like that. So really proud of and I'm happy with the way things worked out. But, you know, it was definitely a journey.
He's going to be one of the youngest players ever to make a Cardinals opening day roster, and he believes he's ready for it.
I feel like after the offseason and everything I did in the offseason to prepare myself, I felt really ready at the beginning of spring training.
And he also spoke a little bit about the teammate reaction, what it's been like inside the clubhouse for him after he found out that he had made the team.
It's a really good feeling. All the teammates in there, really good feeling. Alec Burleson's actually been taking me under his wing a little bit, just showing me, you know, things, customs, things like even off the field that you should know supposed to do to respect the organization, everything like that. So really appreciate him.
All right, so Walker's the young guy. He's the prospect. He's the phenom. He makes the team. Kind of on the other side of the spectrum, you have Taylor Motter. He's a guy who's been around for a while, kind of a journeyman. Certainly was not somebody that you thought had a great shot of making the club going into spring training. But to his credit, he really played well. And he played himself onto the roster. And that's one of the things about the Cardinals is if you play and play well, more often than not, you are going to be given a legit opportunity. And Motter just kept performing, and he was given that opportunity. So he talked a little bit about what it was like when he had that meeting, finding out that he had made the team.
It was Ollie, Joe, Stubby, and Pops were all in there. So it was real exciting. I was real happy. It was just fantastic.
One of the other kind of side stories when it comes to Motter is he's from the area. That was part of signing with the club, but he grew up in that area. He played high school games at Roger Dean Stadium. He went and watched spring training games growing up. He's from the area, and now he gets the opportunity to make the team after being at home during spring training.
It feels full circle, you know, playing there, growing up, playing on the backfields, playing a couple high school games in the stadium, having spring training there, being at home, first year with the baby, so my parents got to see the baby a lot. It was just fairy tale type of thing.
Motter also asked what he showed the club, and he believes this is what led to him making the club.
I just hope I brought that I can still play this game and play it at a high level. I wanted to show them that I still have the ability to go out there and compete every day and do it at a high level. So I feel like just being a grinder, playing my butt off every day, and I think that helped.
So a little bit audio between Jordan Walker and Taylor Motter as we do our daily fun with audio. When we return, we'll wrap things up, but also we hear from Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. After the roster was announced, Tom Ackerman spent some time talking with him, and we will play that for you in just a moment as we continue on. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. Back with more in a moment right here on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of Sports Open Line, a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. All week long, we're going to be mostly Cardinals, as we, you know, we call our Wednesday show on Cardinals Radio Network countdown to opening day. So I don't, I'd like to go with something else to call this week's worth of shows, but we are literally counting down to opening day coming up on Thursday. So we'll be doing mostly Cardinals on these nights leading up to it. And we are all fired up about what's going to be taking place. I've spent the last few moments kind of discussing the roster and what it's going to look like and the announcements that were made over the course of the weekend. We got the opening day roster, the projected opening day roster. Of course, something can always happen. Knock on wood between now and opening day actually happening, but we do know what the roster is supposed to look like. Over the weekend, our own Tom Ackerman got the chance to speak with John Mozeliak, and they went through some of those decisions and everything that went into the opening day roster. Wanted to replay this conversation for you, but this was Tom, I believe on Saturday, he had this conversation with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak.
Thank you, as always. And what is the latest you can tell us about your roster?
Yeah, so tonight we decided we would announce what our anticipated opening day roster will look like. And I think there were some question marks on what our bullpen was going to look like. Would Jordan Walker make the club or not? And then would there be who would end up with that utility role? And then what would subsequently happen between someone like Burleson or even Yepez? So what we did today was we ended up optioning Mr. Cabrera, and by doing so, that meant Naughton and Zach Thompson made the club. And then based on the spring that Jordan Walker had, we just really felt compelled to give him a shot at this because, you know, he really had some big at-bats. He looks mature beyond his years, and we really feel like, you know, he's ready to support our lineup. And so obviously, there's going to be some give and take on how you think about playing time and usage and that type of thing. But, you know, based on the camp he had, it was really impressive. And then Mr. Motter, he made our club. He was a six-year free agent, and he was someone that really opened up some eyes, giving us a lot of flexibility where he could play. And you look at his offensive production in this camp and really historically what he's been able to do with the bat. Just made a lot of sense for to give him that opportunity. So overall, we're really excited about our roster. Obviously, we still have two games to play in spring training, so we're going to let that play out. But, you know, we did want to give everybody a chance to plan where they're needed to go. And, you know, these are tough conversations to have with some people, exciting ones for others. And you know, we're pretty pleased on how this camp went and where we are tonight.
Totally understandable. These are human beings after all, and they've given you so much. And Jordan Walker, just to circle back to him, obviously fans are going to be excited. They want to see this special talent. They're going to know what number he's going to wear. I mean, you know, all these things. What can you tell us about the career and the level of how you would like to see that develop?
Well, I think when you look at young players, someone at his age, you know, how quickly he's matured in this game. And I think, you know, his understanding of the strike zone is very impressive. I think the fact that the raw power, I think a lot of people got to see in this camp. But, you know, even take a step back and what he was able to accomplish last year at AA was really impressive. And so his conversion to the outfield has been really seamless. I think ultimately what we got to see in this camp was someone that was prepared, had an understanding of what he wanted to do, and he set out and did that. And so, you know, speaking with the coaches and my staff, you know, early on people were like, slam dunk, he's on. I was probably more of the let's be patient, let this play out a little bit. But, you know, I think everybody was pretty bullish on giving him this opportunity. And so, you know, when you look at what a mature young man he is and what he does with this, you know, ultimately it's up to him. But, you know, it's fun to give a young person an opportunity to do this and, you know, hopefully makes the most of it.
Zach Thompson has shown great improvement just in every facet of his game, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, why don't we touch on both Zach and really what Packy was able to do. Both had goals this offseason. Both came back and achieved that. In Zach's case, it was really about being able to land his curveball when he needed to. Obviously, someone that can pitch up to 97, 98, that's nice to see. But being able to land that breaking ball will pay dividends for him. And really, they wanted to see Packy improve his slider, and he was able to do that. He's throwing it harder. I think it's been a pretty effective pitch in this camp. And, again, these are never easy decisions because Cabrera threw well. Romero we didn't see much of, but, you know, when we did see him, we liked what we were seeing out of him. He just needs to get kind of pitch. You know, last year coming back from Tommy John didn't really have that consistency. So hopefully he can go down, get his innings in, and both guys I'd imagine we'll see at some point in the season.
When it comes to the utility role, and again, not to focus on just one because it's such a – you have so much depth there. But the modern story is a good story, isn't it? I mean, here's a kid who grew up, went to Palm Beach Gardens High School. He used to go to Cardinals games, and here he is wearing the uniform.
No, it's a great story. Look, he's put up some offensive numbers throughout his minor league career. And I think for us, just his flexibility on the infield is helpful. I mean, obviously, when we lost Pauly to the IL, you know, someone had to step up and take that job. And, you know, the way he swung the bat in this camp opened up a lot of eyes, and the flexibility he gave us on the infield was helpful. And, again, I think a lot of these guys were able to take advantage of opportunity. You know, you think about a guy like Motter, how much opportunity would he have gotten if we had our regular club here? But with the WBC, you know, he got to show his wares, and it worked.
You told me that over and over. It was going to be a camp of opportunity, and it certainly came true. Appreciate this. Congratulations on some tough decisions, but they are here. It is anticipated. The roster is set for opening day.
It's definitely in pencil, but yes, I would imagine this is what it's going to look like. And look, it was a fun camp. It's still got two games left, but I think it was a successful one and one that you know, hopefully provides us with an exciting 2023.
Thank you. Safe travels to Sarasota and to St. Louis.
Thank you, Tommy.
John Mozeliak on KMOX.
That was our own Tom Ackerman talking with John Mozeliak just about the roster and everything that's going on with it and just getting ready for the start of the season, which begins on Thursday. They've got opening day Thursday and off day on Friday, and then they really jump back into things coming up this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. That's going to do it for the program today. Thanks to everybody who joined us on the program. What a great lineup of guests that we had today. We'll try to do that on an everyday basis, especially this week leading into Thursday's opening day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Another two-hour program tomorrow, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock right here on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.